Diversity.
You have caused confusion.
Oh, fascist moron.
Recently, the Dark Lord, Sir Tony Blair, published a book called On Leadership. Today, we're going to be focused on just one passage from it. But before we do so, there are three things I'd like to remark on. First, for fans of this channel, and for me personally, to see Blair rewriting Machiavelli for the 21st century is quite amazing. It's almost like he's been watching us all this time, which I do not believe for one second. But the book, as a whole, echoes many things I have talked about for years, including going beyond ideology, beyond democracy, and focusing on the pragmatic side of power. You know, it is said that Blair was personally handed a copy of my book, The Populist Delusion, also a bestseller on Amazon, buy it now, etc. And there are parts of this book that make me wonder if he did in fact read it. There's quite a surprising, or I should say, to most of us, not that surprising, creeping autocratic feel to Blair here. He capitalizes leader, big L, throughout, and openly draws inspiration from various non-democratic leaders that some might call dictators. It's almost like Blair is saying you can learn unnatural powers.
Not from a Jedi.
There's plenty of material here for so-called post-liberals, such as Mary Harrington and others in the unheard, who is it for, crowd, looking for examples of what they call actually existing post-liberalism. Fans of mine will especially love the chapter called The Plague of Ideology, BSBS, BSBS, Therefore I Rule. Ain't that right, Tone? I will say, though, that there are moments in which Blair is a little bit more guarded. He defends the rule of law in a straightforwardly liberal way in Chapter 15, for example. This is all a bit rich for a man who embodied Carl Schmitt's decisionism while in office. Blair was a master of the exception, the emergency power, the fiat policy that overrides established English common law, and so on. But you would not know that from this chapter on the rule of law here. He simply says, and I quote, that putting political power above legal process or the diminution of objective in favour of subjective determination should be avoided or permitted only in the most extreme of circumstances. So he does give scope for the Schmittian exception, but stresses that it should be truly exceptional. He also wards against anything that smacks of arbitrariness, and Blair is often cryptic. He doesn't name exactly what he has in mind, but I think much of this chapter is aimed at the Democrats in America who have persecuted Donald Trump in a manner that feels very third world. It's possible to see the whole chapter as a warning against the politicization of the law that we have seen in America. And on the whole, it's hard to disagree with him on this front, but it's quite difficult to take all of that from somebody like Blair, who played friend enemy and used the exception quite as much as he did when he was the Prime Minister and has done since his promotion to being the Dark Lord of Davos. The second thing to note before we get to our passage is just the sheer audacity of a figure of the stature and of the international fame of Blair dropping this book onto Keir Starmer just a couple of months into office. It's a power move for sure, whether or not it was intended, and he swears in his interviews not, but, you know, fact of the matter is, if you drop a, you know, there's a, your heir basically is coming to power right now, and this book comes out 2 months in, everybody is going to read it in that sense. It's impossible not to see some passages as direct critiques of Starmer and direct advice to him, as in him personally. Chapter 13, for example, goes hard in this respect. For devotees of elite theory, like many of us, and like me, a lot of the stuff in this book is quite basic, but the fact that Blair is preaching this for the elites and for the masses alike is certainly an interesting development. I had spotted long ago that Blair was a modern Machiavelli, and to have this now essentially confirmed by the Dark Lord himself is quite stunning. The third thing I'd like to mention is that there's some really good advice in this book. It is aimed at world leaders, but there are principles that anyone can take away. For example, the chapter on how to take criticism if you're a public figure was particularly good, and one can tell that he has been hurt personally and is speaking from experience. As someone who has been publicly attacked, had hit pieces written on them, outright lies told about them and so on, and more than once in my life, I can tell you this is some very good advice indeed. On a personal and spiritual level, as well as just practically good stuff from Blair there. All right, with all that said, let's zoom in on the passage I've picked out today, which is Blair on one of his favourite topics, strategic communication. He writes, "Government leaders need a narrative, one that explains why you are and why you deserve to be in government. Something that expresses not only what you're doing, but also the values, sentiments, and motives behind doing it." Now again, for us fans of elite theory, it's hard not to read this as simply a rewrite of Giuliano Mosca on the need for a political formula. Blair is saying that any government needs a justification and a legitimation narrative for its own rule. He continues, "I liken governing to leading people on a journey. You don't just begin by stepping out. You begin with a description of a destination, the house on a hill, you might call it. And you tell people, that's where we're heading, because in that house are many good things. Things that will improve and enrich our lives, make the journey worth it. Think of Moses and the Exodus from Egypt. You might have thought that since he was leading his people out of slavery and oppression, they would have been perpetually grateful, but they were not. They complained bitterly much of the time. They dissented. They rebelled. They frequently averred, and they would have been better off if he had just left them where they were. The waters of Meribah, when Moses struck the rock to bring forth water, after the quarrelling of the people about his leadership, were as vivid for them as the parting of the Red Sea. Moses had to put up with the stiff-necked attitude of the people, but he countered it by continually explaining that he was leading them to a land of milk and honey, where their every need would be fulfilled." While this passage is certainly not going to do much to quell the long-held complaint that Blair has a messiah complex, especially as he goes on in this chapter to talk about, quote, "recovering our sense of mission." Blair always styled himself as a conviction politician, and all this will give grist for right-wing newspapers to claim that Blair now sees himself as Moses. But the basic lesson is one to take seriously, since he is, in a sense, moving beyond mere ideology to speak to something much more powerful, the nature of myth. Myths are by their nature unfalsifiable and future-oriented. Mastery over myth gives a leader tremendous power. I am reminded a little of George Sorel when he wrote, "Myths are not descriptions of things, but expressions of a determination to act. A myth cannot be refuted, since it is at bottom identical with the convictions of a group, being the expression of these convictions in the language of movement, and it is, in consequence, unanalyzable into parts which could be placed on the plane of historical descriptions." Now, Michael Maxwell, for most of you, that's Mike from Imperium Press, folks, he does a good job of teasing out the full implications of what Sorel is saying. He says, "A myth is not merely a description. It may involve description. It may appear to be composed of propositions. It may tell you about a state of affairs in the world. But so does a scientific theory or a court transcript. Those are not myths. A myth is much more than a description. Sorrell tells us that a myth is an expression of a determination to act. A myth expresses a determination, which is always aimed at a goal or a purpose. And a goal or purpose presupposes a will. When you act willfully, you are aiming at something, and this aiming, willing, purposive action embodies a command. And like a command, which can neither be true nor false, a myth cannot be refuted. The myth of the great chain of being was a command, in the end, to obey the authority of the king. The myth of communism was a command to strive to bring about the fulfillment of Karl Marx's prophecy. The myth of Tony Blair here is the house on the hill that he's promising, like Moses. Whether or not Blair has been influenced by Sorrell here is less relevant than his basic lesson, and it is one that we might all take on board too. And that'll do for today, friends. I'll be back with a little bit more Blair-related content tomorrow when I'm going to take a look at some of his interviews. So long for now. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.